Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Lamates, the 39th chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a very short Perek. It was actually lumped into the same topic of a Perek when it was told in Melachim, but it's given its own Perek here, and that is the involvement of Babylon. After Chizkiyahu has succeeded, has become well again after his deathly illness, he receives the delegation of Merodach Baladan, Ben Baladan, from Babylon. He sends Chizkiyahu a mincha and books of peace, and he comes and visits him. And Chizkiyahu is extremely happy to invite him in. He brings him and he shows him all the storehouses and the coffers of the kings. He didn't hide anything from this king Merodach Baladan. Yeshayahu comes in and he says, where do they come from? So Chizkiyahu says, they came from me from a distant land of Babel. You can hear the arrogance in Chizkiyahu's description over here. He says, what do you show them? He says, I show them everything. I show them the storehouses and my weapons. And so Yeshayahu says, listen to me. This is what Hashem says. There's going to come days and everything in your house, everything you showed will be taken to Babel. Everything will be taken in into exile. From your children, they will be taken, and they'll be servants in the king of Babel's house. What's Chizkiyahu's reaction? He says to Chizkiyahu, he says, it's good what you said, as long as there is peace and goodness and truth in my days. Very strange parak for a number of reasons. Let's just focus first of all just in terms of the timeline to appreciate what is going on over here. We're at a critical period in history where, again, the ruling king at this point in time is from the year 722 BCE to the year 705. Remember, time is working backwards because we're going from before Common Era. So 722 to 705 is the reign of Sargon II of Assyria. This is the peak of the Assyrian Empire. In the year 705, he is succeeded by his son, Sanherib of Assyria, who rules till the year 681 BCE. Okay, so this is the period in time in which we're living. And who is this Merodach Baladan? So we're actually referring to Merodach Baladan II. He was a Babylonian. His name is actually Marduk Apal Indina, which means Marduk has given me an heir. So this is obviously Baladan is talking about his son, and this is his name, Merodach Baladan II. He actually was able to successfully reprise the Assyrians and take hold of the Chaldean area under the Babylonians for about 10 years and hold it back from the Assyrians. So he was a successful rebellion and created coalitions against the Assyrians. This is at this meridian in time when Sargon's rule was ending, and towards the end of Sargon's rule, and he tried to take it again in the times of Sanherib, and Sanherib crushed him and sent him into exile. So this is when Merodach is living. And it is therefore obviously very important to appreciate that his arrival in Chizkiyahu at the times of Chizkiyahu is clearly seeking coalition against Assyria. So that's an important point to appreciate. He is one of the successful rebellions against Assyria. So his arrival is clearly linked to this. What was the sin itself? Rashi says very simply. Rashi says it was arrogance. The way Chizkiyahu was talking, that he feels so strong, that he's, you know, where Rashi understands, of course, that his sickness had been linked to the siege against Sanherib, and Sanherib's army has been destroyed, was obviously related directly to Chizkiyahu's healing from his sickness. So there was a degree of arrogance which is being expressed over here. And this is where he's being judged for this. And it's a very severe judgment because, of course, he's a leader and he's put under a very specific microscope for in terms of arrogance. The Ralbag adds on a little bit more. The Ralbag says that he seems to be taking credit for the power of the battle that he just succeeded in. Meaning to say, when Merodach Baladan arrives and says, "Well, tell me a little bit about you. What's going on over here?" He should have really responded and said, "This, but the success belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Instead, he starts showing him, you know, the most interesting military tools and the anti-aircraft missiles that he uses and the technology he's been using in his defense, in his missile defense systems, and all these things, which is an indicator that ultimately It's really his. It's really the credit is due to him, not to anything else, not certainly not to God. Rabbi Benny Lau points out when looking at this parak that, of course, this comes back to Yeshayahu's time-old rebuke against Chizkiyahu Melech, and that this happened before his sickness as well, which is the parak Chaf, where Yeshayahu walked Aram v'yachef, barefooted and lack of clothing, as a description of mourning for because of the trust that Chizkiyahu had for other nations. At that time, he was talking about Mitzrayim, but now he's saying Bavel. Why in those days the protocol would be that when you sought a coalition, when you had trust between nations, there'd be transparency militarily and or financially. So the fact that he's showing him his storehouses is an indicating protocol that that there is peace between them, that he is creating a system of trust, a treaty between the two nations. And that ultimately is a sin. The way that Yeshayahu says you should live with one set of fear, and that is the fear of heaven, fear of no one else. That means to say, therefore, you don't need to trust other people. You don't need to create coalitions with governments around. It is interesting that in a footnote to Katzeporim Ofot, which is Rabbi Benny Lau and Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun's Sefer on Tanakh, they quote that Rav Yehuda Elitzur, Professor Yehuda Elitzur, is one of the editors of the Dat Mikra Tanakh, visited Steh Boker, where famously David Ben Gurion would have his Chug Mikra, which is the play where he would have a discussion group about Tanakh, and Professor Elitzur presented this this particular idea about the punishment for relying on enemy of alliances with nations around, and David Ben Gurion was confused. He said, "Does it mean to say that you have if you have emuna, you're not going to trust anybody around you?" It's unheard of. And the response was, Chalila v'chalila. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you don't make alliances. He says, Ba'et hazot, eincha ra'ui liyot me'atzma, which I think means, is that at this point in time, we barely exist at this point in time. We need to take all the shtadlus necessary. And I think this conversation really expresses a lot of the qualms that we have and we've been seeing over the witnessing over the last 70 years. You know, Israel is seeking coalitions wherever they can, and we need the hope and the help for survival to every degree we can, but as long as we put first and make sure and it's clear to us that ultimately the reason why we've won all these wars is because our Kodesh Baruch Hu is first. If that becomes a secondary, or we're only when we call out when we're in need, then it's a clearly indicator that all these coalitions were not for the sake of Gustavo or trust in God. They were for the sake that we thought there was no other way out. That's an important perspective reminder over here. Finally, the last thing just to think about over here is that why is that Yechizkiel's response to this whole thing is that as long as it's good and truthful in my days, it's fine. So Rashi and the Mitzvot point out that he says that if there's peace in my days, I accept the MS, which is going to be after my days, meaning the Tov is for now and the MS is for after my days, which ultimately is the flip side of what the previous discussion was when he was ill. When he was ill, what had happened was he was accused of not having children because he was worried about the future. And Yeshayahu HaNavi said, no, don't play in Hashem's world. You do what you're supposed to do, and then HaKadosh Baruch will take care of the future. So ultimately, Chizkiyahu has learned that lesson, and he's saying, you know what? As long as there's Tov now, as long as I'm doing the best I can now, and I made a mistake, but I'm going to try the best now, I can't take control of what's going to be in the future. And that's ultimately how he ends this conversation. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.